Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Wednesday, August the 11th, 2021. Your host, Sturch Gooch, and of course, AJ from the couch. It is a glorious, hot, hot Wednesday. How we boys? How are we doing, guys? We're doing all right? How we doing, guys? This is a Jason Garrett thing. How we doing, guys? No?
Ding.
No? Ding.
Who fucking cares about Jason?
He brought himself up on camera already.
I'm doing swell.
You feeling energized? You were here way too late last night.
I was here late last night, but you know what? I was doing what I needed to make sure that the pod looks good. I think I honestly got to re-record again, but I'm a perfection artist. I'm a Kanye West.
Perfection artist.
Perfectionist.
Perfectionist.
Good Lord. Get yourself off.
Like
goodbye.
Kanye.
Anyway.
So you spent 11 hours here yesterday, maybe more, and you didn't even get anything put down?
Feels like Gucci.
If there's anything I could relate to more in my life, it's that. I have recorded the Packers Pulse 6 times, and it's still there's still only a 45-second trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyway, today we got a lot to get into. There was a episode of Hard Knocks that debuted last night. I know Gooch didn't watch. I know AJ did watch, so I can actually have a conversation with him if I wanted to. But I'll just recap it real quick before we get into the rest of our meat and potatoes of this episode. Today is day 9 of our 32 teams in 32 days. Turn your phone over. Turn your phone over. That's what I do. Turn your phone over.
No.
That'll distract you.
Fucking keep my phone.
It'll exactly distract you.
Sometimes I get good tidbits.
There's no good tidbits.
Rashad Bateman out for weeks. If we were doing the Ravens, which we might be doing tomorrow, then that would have been solid information.
Perfect. And now a fantasy guy just ruined his whole, like, oh, but what about, you know, so he's going to have to adjust that shit. But anyway, welcome to the podcast. Hard Knocks last night debuted for the Dallas Cowboys, and it was as delivered as promised. I was excited. It's been 13.
I could probably text now because
it's probably
you're talking about
13
the
years.
Cowboys again.
It's been 13 years since the Cowboys were featured on this. There are criteria now. You can't have a new head coach. You have to miss the playoffs.
You have to suck for the previous two seasons at least.
You do have to suck a little bit for you to be featured on Hard Knocks. I watched Hard Knocks last night. It was good. There was a feature. I mean, it was heavy on the Dak and Zeke, which I fully expected episode one to do. Dak Prescott, by the way, like as cookie cutter as his interviews are, as proper as all his press conferences are, this dude.
Well, they get locker room Dak. It's very different than media Dak.
What?
Locker room Dak is different than media Dak.
Yes. Like, there was a perfect
teammate
meme.
Dak is far
there was
different
a perfect
than,
meme on Twitter last night, and it was literally Samuel L. Jackson in like one role and then Samuel L. Jackson in like Pulp Fiction. You know what I'm saying? What? Oh, I thought you were going to say
was
something.
Was there any memes about Mike McCarthy being a terrible head coach?
No, but he did play to the camera a little bit. He really did. I do, you know, again, the cameras are rolling. He got on his high horse, said that Super Bowl or bust, you know, that's the goal. Let's get through this preseason. Let's get through the regular season. Let's get to the tournament. And it's all like it's coach speak. Like, he's not going to not say shit like that. What?
Can we talk about the mojo thing?
Yeah, that was really bad. That was very bad. I'll talk about that
is
right now.
Is this a McCarthy hate?
It is a McCarthy thing.
Oh, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I wish I had the video.
So it's okay.
This is a video that we should have been able to, but I don't think you really steal HBO shit.
No, you don't want to steal that. We don't want to get kicked off anyway. But yeah, the mojo moment. So he's in a team meeting where he wants to show the team Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me. Something about the clip with my mojo, you know, with Dr. Evil, right? Or it steals his mojo.
How out of touch.
Right. Well, that's what I said. I was like, Jesus Christ, you're referring back to a 90s cinematic classic like that. So I'm sitting there. The mojo moment is when, I don't even know. Can you describe it better? Like, because I'm looking at it as like a key situation in the game.
A fat old man trying to relate to young.
No. He says, mojo moment. Like, he calls it out in practice. Like, your 1 minute drill. Mojo moment means like, you're back on the air. What?
Well, I thought you were going to pan to me for conversation.
Go. Yeah.
Mojo moment means to me is what he said after it is that a mojo moment builds momentum. It's
correct.
Something that carries over into the next plays. And once you build mojo moments, that's when you got the mojo.
Correct. So, yes, it's a momentum building practice where they're in a 1 minute drill, 2 minute drill. There's no timeouts. Like, he'll give a situational football. It's basically situational football, 2 minute drill shit.
I feel like mojo is either something that you have or you don't. He's misusing the term.
You're just on a Mike McCarthy.
No, but it was bad.
It sounds like something that as soon as he turns around, every player there is looking at each other like, is this guy fucking serious right now?
Possibly.
We got to listen to this fucking idiot.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's what I dealt with for 14 seasons.
Okay. There was a moment on Hard Knocks last night where Dak Prescott, they show him straining his shoulder, right? So the team doctors are with him, and they're massaging his shoulder and saying, you know what? You're done. Let's cut it for the day, right? Dak Prescott says, all right, but I'm going to stay out here with the team, watch practice, right? Mike McCarthy gets a little hell-bent about that. He's like, if you're hurt, go inside and get treated. Go and can we get ahead of this? Like, he's telling his quarterback, like, I respect you for wanting to be out here, but you gotta go get an X-ray, go get an MRI, show me what we got, because he was frustrated. Somebody went to McCarthy and was like, hey, Dak's got a shoulder strain. It's underneath the shoulder. And McCarthy like pauses and he's like, fuck, you know, like
he's like, oh shit, there's cameras on me right now. I better I think he's annoyed at this.
No, I think he was genuinely like pissed off. Like, you just went through a whole season.
I'll be the judge.
Well, you'll have to watch.
I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
tonight.
Watch it tonight. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. But yeah, so McCarthy has a moment also where they're doing the mojo moment, and Dak Prescott is standing next to McCarthy, and he's like, "Don't you wish you were out here for the mojo moment, Dak?" And Dak's like, "No, yeah, no, I kind of do. Like, but I'm hurt, so." What the fuck?
Do you think McCarthy uses that voice when he's talking to his wife and shit? Like, oh, oh. Like, bro, that's not how you fucking talk. There's no way. No way. Hey, honey. Like, shut the fuck up. Oh,
God. Anyway.
What a waste.
All right. Anyway, he does play to the cameras a little bit. I'm excited about Micah Parsons. There's a lot of features about him. He looks just as advertised, fast around the ball, intense at practice. There was a scene. Did you see the vasectomy stuff like that with John Bones Fossil, like explaining to his special teams unit on what a vasectomy is? And I was just like, I'm not sure if we needed this. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't know what goes on in the Cowboys organization, but I thought it was a fun episode. I thought it was good.
Yeah, no. Overall, I give it like a 7.5 out of a 10.
I like that. That makes sense?
All right. Because I think as it goes, you're going to get more in-depth with the rookies and, you know, the real storylines and the unfortunate coverage of a guy like Ben DiNucci who just stinks at football. And did you see the one throw he threw? The ball was like in slow motion on Hard Knocks.
For
and
more
like,
on Hard Knocks, tune into Dave's All About the Star. Yes,
please. Speaking of All About the Star, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and you want to support the network and support me, you can go and check out that podcast. Episode 2 just dropped this morning, along with Chart Choppers. Alan Austin is the host of that. He drops a podcast in which he's trying to let everybody know his top 5 vacation destinations. His guest, who better? His wife.
I've been on like 3 vacations in my entire life.
I texted a friend yesterday and she's like, yeah, I'm going down to this place. I'm like, that's like your 15th
my
vacation.
My vacation destination is...
Mine's Aruba, without question.
I mean, I've only been to Green Bay, Vegas, and South Beach.
So I would probably,
maybe a couple
if I had to rank those three...
As a kid, but...
If I had to rank those three of places to go right now as an adult, it'd be Vegas, right? Over South Beach and Green Bay. As a vacation spot. Vacation. Like, things to do. Like, you go to Green Bay to watch
honestly,
the Packers.
Honestly, I don't really have any interest in going to Vegas or South Beach again because I'm not rich.
Very true.
You can't go to those places unless you have a shitload of money to blow.
I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say not that I'm saying like it was beginner's luck or anything like that, but I did go to Vegas for my bachelor party, and everybody left Vegas with more money than they had when they got there. Which is like,
I'm a piece of shit, so
what?
There's like, no way that
my happened. Boy was asking for bucket specials for himself, because that's how much money we were up. And I'm like, oh, what's a bucket of beer cost in Vegas? $75. So it's like, ow, Jesus. Like, oh my God. But
I do want to go to a Raider game in Vegas, but I don't have $3 billion to spend on a ticket, so that's probably not.
Was it you? No, it was Scoop who said that he went to a Jaguars game and he went into the pool. I'm like, good Lord, bro. Like, come on. Like, you're going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium and watch the game from the pool? I guess that's kind of cool, but like, what? Like,
First of all, you're a Jaguars fan?
Yeah.
That's
I can't knock the Jaguars. Knock the Jaguars. My good friend Jess is a Jaguars fan. I root for her happiness all the time. I want them to do well.
I'll do it then. I could knock the Jaguars. I don't give a shit about Jess. No offense, Jess. But the Jaguars suck. And if I was going to a Jaguars game, I would 100% go in the pool. That's the only reason why you would go.
All right, right? Fine.
And it's also 3,000 degrees in Jacksonville.
So you're talking about having fun, right? You're talking about having fun. And that's a good segue into what the NFL cracked down on yesterday, in which now they're going to be dishing off 15-yard penalties. So, ejections after 2 offenses, possible suspensions and fines for taunting. Now, I raise you the question. What do you think, before we get into the rule itself, what do you think consists of actual taunting? Like, you have to do something to another player, or can you celebrate? You know what I'm saying?
I think
like, is it the first down?
No, taunting? No. It's going to be things like what Tyreek Hill did at the goal line, where he did stops,
does the backflip,
turns around, does a backflip into the end zone.
Okay,
I would say that's taunting. I would say
the bye-bye.
The bye-bye that Aaron Jones did to your
beloved Cowboys.
Defense.
Yeah, that was
on his fourth touchdown.
Yeah, that was that also put a hole in my wall, but yeah, I digress with that one.
I think that's taunting. I think, you know, maybe the standing over and flexing, which is kind
after
of
a tackle,
kind of gray area to me. I think that happens a lot, and it's really up to the ref.
You know what it is? I think there's a lot of verbal stuff we don't hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be a quick flex, but it could also be go F your mother or something like that. And then that will consistency, like, oh, nope, that's a flag. You know what I mean?
I typically don't like when there's judgment entered into the arena when we're talking about refs and what they think is taunting, because it, unless you could define what it exactly is, I don't like the rule at all. But to have somebody be like, I think that was a little too much flag, and then it's costing players money
so you think they need teams' games.
Because
they need to get real specific with it. They really need to crack down, like, what consists as taunting? Does the Jalen Smith swipe? Does the Zeke, when he does the feed me, that's like, his trademark
there's,
now.
There's enough judgment calls where you can't challenge a judgment call, essentially, with, like, some you can, I guess, or they're doing things with pass interference. I don't even know what the rule is on that anymore, but I don't like the fact that you could have some guy interject his opinion into the game.
So you, the ref,
yeah,
in particular. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal.
A lot
deal.
Of these guys are shitty human beings.
Like,
just
what if you
they're
just,
a ref doesn't mean they should be trusted.
Here's an idea. Here's an actual scenario that can happen. Like, imagine if, I don't know, let's take Aaron Jones. Let's just say, because you just said it before. Let's just say that he gets called for holding because he's trying to pick up a blitz, right? And he gets called for holding, and he says, "Hey, ref, you know what the f? You know, go. That was such a bullshit call, blah blah blah." And he gets under the ref's skin, right, for that moment. Now, what if down the line, Aaron Jones breaks off a 20-yard run, gets up, spins the ball? That ref is going to remember what he just said to him 10 minutes ago and throw the flag.
Well,
that's a personal judgment.
For spinning the ball, that wouldn't be considered taunting. But
it's also, that used to be a delay game call.
I understand what you're getting at, though. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's
personal vendettas.
That's where that would come into play.
Correct.
Or just because somebody doesn't like a team or their son's a fan of this guy. Who the fuck knows why people act the way they act? But anyway.
No, I mean, listen, that's a big.
It's a shitty rule for the NFL to do.
It is. It absolutely
is. I don't mind any of the new school shit. Celebrate. Do what you got to do.
Again, we're in that same mind space where like, you know, for baseball, flip that bat, boy. You know what I mean? Flip that bat, pump your chest.
If you don't want me to celebrate, don't let me score.
Exactly. I am so on that
board. I'm not necessarily a guy that wants my guys to act like assholes and celebrate, but if they do, I'm not going to say, you know what, I really don't like, I'm not going to not cheer for a player on my team because he might be a little brash. I don't give a shit. Typically, the Packers don't go after those guys anyway.
Sure. Like, yeah, they don't have any character guys. I mean, Devontae Adams just goes out, balls out, calls it a day. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Is the Aaron Rodgers belt thing going to be a taunting thing? You know what I mean? Like, probably not.
Fucking Aaron Rodgers isn't going to get fined for anything at this point.
At this point of his career, true. He's got the Tom Brady. Treatment, I think, where it. You know, if he gets hit, Cam Newton can get launched into another dimension, and no flag will be thrown. But then they'll throw one on a low hit from Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers typically gets away from those people. Even, you know, I will give him credit. And I don't want to kiss his ass too much because that's not what I do here. But Aaron Rodgers, for his age, how much younger is he than Brady? Like 3 years? Not much.
No,
he's like 39,
he's
right?
37.
37. So Brady's what, 42? So a 5-year gap? 43. All right. That's a pretty big gap then. I was going to say, like, Rodgers could still move.
Yeah,
Brady
he's
can't.
A far better athlete than Tom Brady.
Tom Brady can't move. I don't think he's ever been able to
run. Tom Brady was 37. He still wasn't able to move.
Right. He's like
had
a
nothing
statue
to do with
back there.
But he's elusive in the pocket, and he gets the ball out
he
fast.
He steps up. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I totally understand. But anyway, we said it before in the pre-show, Jamal Adams. Is this guy turning into just like get him off my team type scenario? Like, he was a Jet. AJ, I'll bring you into this one because – you know, you're a Jets fan. You had Jamal Adams for one a cup of coffee, what it seems like. You shipped him out of town. How do you feel about him? Like, is this like, this don't surprise me at all. You know, the fact that he's not signing an extension, like he wants to cut off all trade talk. I'm not trade talk. Extension talks and all that stuff. There's an offer on the table, according to sources. So where do you stand with Jamal Adams?
Where I stand with Jamal is I'm going to try not to put too much bias into it. Mm-hmm. Jamal Adams is a great player, right? But I don't think he necessarily is a top five safety, which he wants
not anymore,
to be,
at least. I mean, yeah, maybe at one time he was.
Like. He is great in blitzing. Like,
you're shaking the hell out of your computer, just so you know.
I call him Blitz Boy sometimes.
Blitz Boy?
Blitz Boy. Like, okay. Michael Thomas Slant Boy, he's Blitz Boy. He gets all his sacks, on those blitzes and kind of, I don't know, I think he's kind of a one-trick pony in terms of that. His coverage used to be
Catch anything.
But he can't catch.
Right.
He's lacking in coverage right now. At the moment, I don't know. If I'm the Seahawks, like, you invested two first-round picks in the guy.
Absolutely. But, and the Jets turned him into decent things, right, already, or no? Marcus May, or no?
Who knows what the Jets turned him into? They didn't play yet.
No, turned in the people.
Yeah, I know.
But we got Elijah Vera Tucker from it so far, who's a pretty good offensive guard.
They might.
He could.
Well, you don't know yet. I mean, yeah,
he's good at what? Practice.
No, he's good about in college. Practice.
All right. Well, we'll see. But hey, yeah, Jamal Adams is turning into such a distraction per se. He's turning into this guy where he just can't get it done. What, you got a fantasy book over there, bro? Is that what you got? Nice. It's time. It's time, man. I'm pumped.
I just like to use the fantasy book because it's. Gives me a better understanding of teams because that's how I approach football season.
Oh, you have the Bengals teams. Pulled up. Yeah, good job. Course, look at you. Prepped. I like it. I like it. Not that you're not ever not prepped, but extra prepped.
Sometimes I'm not prepped.
Well, we should be prepped a little bit better as we go. It's literally our third time being live, and it's the same scenario. But anyway, another thing. Right before we get into AJ's sports update, I will say you read that Carson Wentz, all of a sudden, after all the shit we talked about him and the Colts and how they can't win without a quarterback, he's on pace to play week one. Is that who's the source?
No. Well, Bleacher Report. I don't know.
Bleacher Report reported that he's on pace to play week one. So that changes things, I guess. You know,
read the exact headline.
Yeah, go ahead. But changes predictions overall about the Indianapolis Colts because look, what do you got?
Trending toward playing week
trending
one.
Him toward.
And Quentin Nelson.
Well, Quentin Nelson, you said it yesterday.
Yeah, I believe that he was always going to play.
Right. Carson Wentz being a little bit of more of a piece of glass.
I will change my win totals on the Colts if Wentz does play, obviously.
Well, I think, what did you have him at yesterday or 2 days ago?
Not great.
No, right. You had him at like four wins, I think, or something.
No, it was more than that. But
five, maybe. I don't remember. What do you got, AJ? You remember that off
the top? Every single one of us had him at 6-11.
Okay, 6-11. So that drastically changes with Carson Wentz. I'm not sitting here openly
rooting. I wouldn't say he completely drastically changes.
He's a good quarterback. He's just had a bad year last year. He got replaced by a kid.
But he's also now banged up already.
Right. So he's got something
Carson
looming.
Wentz, like, it's not like, oh, he's ready for week one, so he's probably not going to be ready for week three. off the bat.
I like that. I like that. All right. So, yeah, that's something that we stumbled upon. So, it's time now for everybody's favorite segment of the day, and that's to catch you up on all the baseball, because we talked no baseball this morning so far. The only thing I'll say about baseball is the Yankees drop into Kansas City, and that makes me ill, but because Kansas City's not a good baseball team, and you got to beat the bad baseball teams. Actually, you'll say it because I don't know it, but Tampa is playing Boston, so they're going to beat each other up this week. So I'm interested to see who won that. I think Tampa Bay won, but I'm probably wrong. But AJ, take it away, bro.
All right, so we are here with the Curtis Sells Houses Sports Update for all your realty needs. Make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. All right, let's get into yesterday's slate. The Nationals versus Mets game. I know that Chris hates when I say that. The Nationals play the Mets, and that game got suspended into today. The Nationals were leading 3-1 before it was suspended. The Yankees lost one to the Royals in a high-scoring affair, 8-4. The Brewers were able to have a decent contest against the Cubs. They win that game 4-2. The Angels were able to beat the Blue Jays in the first game of the doubleheader, 6-2. Then we move on to the next slate of the games. The Los Angeles Dodgers were able to have an absolute eyewear shutout.
There we go.
Against the Philadelphia Phillies, 5-0. The A's were able to beat the Cleveland Indians. And
you almost said Athletics.
Yeah,
I know you did.
And extra innings, 4-2. Then we head over to Boston.
There it is.
And
there's
the Tampa Bay Rays beat up on the Red Sox, 8-4. I know Dave is happy to hear that.
Sir.
The Braves edge out a close one against the Cincinnati Reds, 3-2. Brewers in their second game of the doubleheader beat up on the Cubs yet again, 6-3. The Twins with a nice upset over the White Sox. I see a lot of upsets against the White Sox.
Could be a trend.
Lately.
Yeah.
The Astros.
I basically locked them in as as the AL Central winners. I was like, yeah, they're going to run away with this, and now they're losing a bunch of games. Go ahead. Sorry.
The Houston Astros with another absolute eyewear shutout.
Okay, this guy is just over the top. Go ahead.
Yeah, you love it. It's 5-0 in that game. The Astros snapped the Rockies' four-game winning streak. The San Francisco Giants were able to edge out a close one against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 8-7, third straight win for the Giants. Blue Jays win the second game of the doubleheader, 4-0, another absolute eyewear shutout. And to end today's slate, the San Diego Padres beat the Marlins in a close late-night contest, 6 to 5. That is your AJ Sports update.
AJ, my man, great job. I will say this. I know sometimes Gooch writes notes. I didn't write notes, but I have a mental note. I have a problem, much like the A's, like when I say A's in athletics, I don't ever say zero.
I say zero all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When it's like, to me, if they beat a team 5-0, to me, it's like they beat them 5-0.
I also,
like, I would never say zero. I don't know.
It's I don't really have any notes because I wasn't paying attention. but yeah, not for any disrespectful reasons, because
you're diving deep
for what we're about to talk
sure
about. But I don't care if you're saying versus. I don't like versing. I don't like, I'm versing you week one, or who do the Jets verse week one? That shit is for children that don't know what they're talking about, or females.
Oh, just last long. Lost half our audience, guys.
Oh, half our audience is if we, what do we have? Three females that listen, and it's Ashley. She's not going anywhere.
Jess, right? And that's Jess. Two. And
well, if she's not going to go after I just said I didn't give a shit about her, then I'm sure she's not going to care.
Always support. I love
not, Jess. I'm not going to. Anyway.
Anyway.
Just the Bengals versus the whoever, that's fine. It's
versing.
Like, who are we versing? That's completely off limits.
No,
that's
a no-no.
That's as bad as saying the Yankees lost 2-8.
Oh, with the low score first. I can't.
Both gone.
Can't. Goodbye. Zero. I say zero there, but I'm just, hey, listen, you do what you got to do. This is your update.
And also,
you
just, own that just shit, for the bro record, I have no problem with you saying athletics. I say it sometimes too.
Yeah.
I just don't care that you did.
It's not that it's not that I don't care. It's just like I don't refer to them. I guess maybe that's the lazy man's approach. It's the A's to me. You know what I mean? Like athletics, I feel like it takes more time.
Wow.
That's very lazy. That's
a
very
fucking fraction of a
couple
second
syllables. Anyway. That's amazing. Anyway, so for those that are watching online right now, you will get, again, it's very funny to search on YouTube, 2021 Bengals hype, but there is hype and there's a lot of hype. If you're on the podcast, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, the 2021 Cincinnati Bengals. Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest, three pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. All right, welcome back to the CHOP Sports Podcast. If you were watching online, you saw the hypest of the hype videos for the Cincinnati Bengals, in which Jimmy Palumbo was actually watching, and he says, what is this? And yeah, listen, Scoop Espo, too, he said on the video stream, he said, a lot of hype for a fourth place team. But will they come in fourth, Gooch? That's the question. They were starting a new division today. No, we're not. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yeah,
and yeah, they will.
You think they're coming in last? All right. Well, I mean, we'll go. Listen, fuck, you don't know. Hey, calm down. Here we go. We're going to preview the Cincinnati Bengals starting at the top. There are a couple things that we want to bring up, like a Joe Burrow. You know, his backups, nonchalant, like zero recognition whatsoever.
Non-existent.
Brandon Allen played a couple games last year because he was, obviously Burrow got hurt. Pretty much, what is it, mid-season, I think, Joe Burrow got hurt. So I know Brandon Allen played the Cowboys. Bing, you know,
his numbers weren't terrible.
No, they weren't. But because his cast around him is pretty good. So
they weren't good.
They're pretty good, and they got better. So now Joe Burrow, my question to you, Gooch, is this. How does this guy bounce back from an injury like that? Because all the reports that we're reading is that, A, there's a lot of mental stuff going on, and B, like, his balls are just not, his throw and delivery and ball delivery is not very accurate.
I kind of think a lot of that is Wolf tickets. There's really no reason for them to be talking good about their quarterback or bad. They just kind of aren't really saying much. I kind of looked into what you were saying, that there's reports that he's not playing well, and I did see the opposite. I saw really not much, honestly, which to me is either if you're seeing something from some source, where?
Correct.
You know,
yeah, it's, I guess it all depends.
I don't necessarily believe those types of things. He's a number one pick overall. He's coming off a bad injury. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be decent, I think. Now, is their offensive line going to be good? I think that's the biggest question about their offense. They have the receivers. They might have arguably the best 1-2-3, depending on how Chase plays.
I was just going to get into that. Before we get into the wide receivers, I will
say they're going to be very hard to cover. They don't have a tight end. Uzoma coming off an Achilles tear.
Drew Sample came on a little bit. Not a lot, just a couple fantasy breakouts here and there.
He's a blocking tight end.
He is a blocking tight end.
More so than anything. He's not really going to demand attention.
How many more years, and I said this on Twitter, I think Michael Fabiano, who's an NFL fantasy guy, he's the head fantasy dude over there, he said, he put out an article like, Joe Mixon looking his best he's ever looked and blah, 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 blah. And I'm in my head, I'm like, how many times are we going to read about Joe Mixon being good? And it's just like, he's either hurt or he just doesn't perform, or is he on a bad team? Is that his bugaboo?
Yes,
that he's playing in Cincinnati.
On a bad team. They've had a really shitty offensive line, and they did use him a lot. Considering, I almost feel like the injuries up to this point are kind of of benefit. I'm not saying that ever being hurt
for
is
longevity,
a benefit, but in terms of he's been in the league a while now, and he doesn't have the mileage that one guy would have being the bell cow back that he is. 10 games last year. I don't even know what he got hurt with.
He had an ankle injury.
It was a nagging foot injury, so it was nothing too serious. Did he have a surgery?
No, I'm sure he had
some. I tell you what, though. Listen.
So he missed 10 games last year, but for the first 6 games, he was pretty good.
Samaj Perine is your backup now, but a key loss is my guy, Mr. Mustache himself, Gio Bernard. That's a big loss to me. He was always the stopgap, always the guy to kind of fill the gap and fill the holes when Mixon was hurt. So now all of a sudden, you don't have him. And he was an all... Dude, how many times did you own him in fantasy football? Don't say zero.
About as many times as I've dropped him.
But that's what I'm saying. That guy's always being added.
I don't particularly like those types of players.
I'm just saying. He's the hottest waiver to pick up when Mixon's out. Hottest. Every time. Gio Bernard. Got to get Gio Bernard.
Honestly,
now he's not there.
Honestly, I disagree with you on that because my logic in a lot of these situations are when a guy has a role, like a Gio Bernard, he's more like the receiving back, the third down guy. They typically don't just automatically insert him as the first and second down back. They usually have a backup guy on the roster that then inherits that role. And why change two roles? Keep Gio Bernard in his role, and he still stays. He might get a little extra carries, but then they bring in a guy that's the third back. It comes in and is now the first and second down back because it's not about first back, second back. It's about you're my receiving back. You're my third down back, and this guy is my first and second down back, short yardage back. You're not going to... You can't give him 20 pounds and the ability to run between the tackles just because somebody else got hurt. So football has changed in that realm a little bit, and I've learned that through analytics and fantasy. But
don't use air quotes. That's the thing.
I just say that because I know you don't like it.
You know what it is, I don't understand.
In fantasy football, it's very, very important. It's all about opportunities, and I see a lot of guys make that mistake. When they go to add a player because someone got hurt, they add the wrong guy because they add the second back. They add the guy that catches the ball on third down.
They add the
And then there's somebody else there that's like in the cut that's like really the guy you should add, and that's where I come
in. I 100%, and that's the team will probably cover this week, but that's like a Ravens thing. When somebody adds somebody, and you're like, you should have got Gus Edwards. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of running back. I totally agree with you. But now looking at that wide receiver core, as you alluded to, Tyler Boyd, obviously wide receiver one, and he's earned that. They lose A.J. Green. He's gone. He goes to Arizona with DeAndre Hopkins, which, by the way,
also,
that could be special.
I don't think Tyler Boyd's wide receiver one. He's just their slot. He's going to stay right in his role. Same thing.
You don't think he breaks to the outside?
No. T. Higgins is definitely their best outside receiver.
I agree.
He's wide receiver one. He's the guy that is going to get the most looks as far as the defense goes. And Chase on the other side with Tyler Boyd in the middle. I do think target-wise, the way their offense is structured, that Tyler Boyd's going to get the most – targets this year.
So that's why I consider him wide receiver one, but no matter where he's lined up on the field.
As far as where the defense is going to focus on, it's going to be T. Higgins all day.
He was a great
rookie. Depending on how good Chase really is. That's why I'm interested to see this team. I am all over them in fantasy football. Not so much when it comes to
winning
football games.
Okay. Yeah. Because, look, there's probably going to be coming from behind for a lot of those games. So a lot of inflated stats, a la Dak Prescott, right?
I've had a Bengals receiver on my team, at least one of my fantasy football teams, every year since the dawn of time because their defense is bad and they are always playing from behind. So in the second half, you'll have 0 points out of Tyler Boyd, and then all of a sudden in the second half, he'll have 11 catches for 110 yards.
The Bengals decided to not address, I mean, they did address the offensive line in the draft, but not with their first pick when they could have.
Smart. Everybody roasted them. Smart.
Yeah, you like that move.
Yeah,
Joe Burrow's your guy forever now, or at least the next 5 years. Like, don't you want to keep him upright coming off injury? Like, listen, the guy they picked in the second round, or it was the early second round, right? Good. You know, he's good.
They could have had
Slater. They could have had other guys.
I understand that, but they wouldn't have the dynamic receiving core that they have now. And now they still have a guy that's most likely, if he does pan out, first of all, there's no guarantee that you're going to be better or worse because you were drafted sixth. You understand that, right? Like, just because this lineman, is it Sewell that everyone said?
Penny Sewell, yeah.
I do think that he'll probably be a good player. But that said, there's no guarantees that he's going to have a better career than the guy that they drafted in the early second round.
Correct.
You know, they got the guy first round talent.
So they did a BPA type thing. Like, yeah. Best player guy, Chase is the guy. Let's link him back up with Joe Burrow. Let's do this.
Remember I think it was the Chargers way back, right? They ended up taking Tomlinson because they traded with the Falcons and they got Drew Brees in the second round.
Wow.
You know, so sometimes it works out. I know that's one case scenario, but that it happens more often. That's just the most famous.
And look, let's be honest. That's not the sexy thing to do. Like, oh, our first pick, we're going to take big man McGee over here. You know what I mean?
It's a good draft, though.
It is. Yes. Yes. Very good draft.
Tomlinson and Breeze.
That was, oh, my God. I mean, Breeze goes bye-bye very quick, but relatively quick.
Only because they drafted Phillip Rivers. And Drew Brees broke his shoulder elbow in the Pro Bowl that year.
Yeah, remember that? Oh my God.
A lot going on there. And that was the Michael Vick draft where
he was first overall.
He should have been whatever. They made trades. Not getting into the semantics of it.
So turning it over to the 4-3 base defense that they run over there. I was a fan of, you know, what they had in Mike Zimmer as a defensive coordinator. Then he, you know, leaves town, goes to Minnesota to coach them. He's established what they do over there. They have a young coaching staff now.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor is
good head coach.
I think he's going to be a lot better. And, you know, a lot of people say fourth place, but I think they could emerge this year. I don't know. Maybe they're like a year away. Maybe
it's not. It's not because I don't necessarily believe in the Bengals' ability to improve. I just think that they're playing in one of the hardest divisions in football.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
We'll see how Baltimore, if they regress or not. We'll see if Cleveland is as advertised. I think Pittsburgh's offensive line is going to. We're going to get into these other teams.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's just a lot of things to overcome in that division.
Correct. Correct. Their defensive line, DJ Reader is good on the interior. Sam Hubbard's pretty good. These are all guys that are pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, they're not great. They're not all stars. They're not pro bowlers. They're not sold. Their linebacking core, I can't even tell you who any of these guys are, to be honest with you. And it's not to knock them. I'm just saying, like, I haven't done enough research on this defensive side of the ball, where the only guy that sticks out to me, get ready for the bell, is Chido Awuzie, the former Dallas Cowboy cornerback who skipped town for greener pastures. He got paid a lot more money to go play in Cincinnati. It's up to you if you want to grow with the defense or stay with a relatively okay defense.
I was going to say he couldn't cover anybody then, and I don't think he's going to be able to cover.
He was our better corner. He was our best corner. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, what they've done and to replace him is pretty good in strength and numbers. They replaced him with a lot of guys.
I only say that because typically over the last 3 or 4 seasons, that's been Dallas's weakness, has been covering 100%. People.
Yes.
And any corner that comes from Dallas, I'm just going to look at them like, well, you weren't doing well there.
I do like
you think you're going to do well here.
I do
especially
like
especially in an elevated role.
I do like Von Bell. I do. I also like Jesse Bates. Okay. So, yeah.
I was going to say, what about Jesse Bates,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to discredit it. Jesse Bates is good, but he's on a very young,
they're going to give up 40 points
defense.
A game.
Yeah, it's going to be that bad, huh? All right, because I'm going to go over to their schedule right now. We'll bring the schedule up on the stream here. You're going to head over there, get that going there, AJ. Thank you very much. There is your schedule for the Cincinnati Bengals as I pull it up. On this over here, preseason, they get their season kicked off this Saturday. That's with the preseason. But when you look at their regular season, they start at home against a very up and down Minnesota team, right? I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. I'm not sold on that Minnesota. The offense will be good. Dalvin Cook, probably one of the top five backs in the league. I get it. So that game's going to be tough, but it's in Cincinnati. So maybe they squeak one off to do that. You know what I mean? Maybe they are able to, yeah, I know. Maybe they're able to get that done. You know what I mean? So we'll see. And then at Chicago, at Pittsburgh. Chicago, they'll probably, I think they can run with them too. So all of a sudden, you could potentially see the Bengals starting 2-0. Maybe, maybe. I'm not saying they're going to win these games. I'm just saying it's a potential thing. Then they go to at Pittsburgh. That'll be a loss. Then they got Jacksonville. So that's, again, that's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, maybe they can beat that team. So is there a possibility before they hit Green Bay, is there a possibility that this Bengals team could be 500, 2-2? Gooch.
There's a possibility. I just don't.
You don't see it.
I don't see it.
Okay. So then the Green Bay is
at
obviously.
At best, 2-2.
Or at best, 2-2. I got them at best 3-1 with their loss coming to Pittsburgh. That's just me at best. So that's three before Green Bay.
I mean, I'll take it. I'll take Minnesota and Chicago dropping to the Bengals.
Bengals, right. You'll root for it. But obviously they play the Packers. Packers will probably run them out of town. Detroit might be on the clock right now, so they probably get a win there. So I want to say that's four for me at the very least. Maximum four right now as they beat Detroit. And then they go on the road and play Baltimore. That's probably a loss. Then they got the Jets. It'll be Joe Burrow versus, I can't think of his
Zach
name.
Wilson.
Zach Wilson, sorry. Zach Wilson, that could be a win, maybe. I could see that. I'm not sure. I mean, the Jets are going to be the Jets. We'll find out what the Jets got in year one. Then Cleveland, division game, tough, but they'll probably lose that one. Then they finally get their bye. So before their bye, I got them 9 weeks in, with a potential at five wins. That's a lot. That's probably a lot this is probably a stretch, but whatever.
I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, fine.
By the way, this is my least favorite segment of the entire podcast is when we go through the fucking schedule.
Why?
I just think that it gets like jumbled together. And the reason being is what I said before about wanting to add up the games.
Right.
So
okay.
Now I'm like,
well, here, I'll let the record show that once we run through the schedule to see like how tough it is and how many wins we could potentially see. But at the end of all this, at the end of the 32 teams in 32 days, Gooch and I are going to definitely break down week by week, not pick the games, but like break down what these records could potentially actually be. Right now, we could say these teams are finishing 6-11, 5-12, but it wouldn't make sense because there's not enough 12-5 teams. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's different semantics that we're working out. So we're giving a win loss over under guesstimation right now. So after the bye, they got Vegas, Pittsburgh, and LA. Again, I don't see any wins there. San Francisco, Denver, maybe a win against Denver. Maybe I'll give them the sixth on that one. And then they just get probably destroyed by Baltimore, Kansas City, and at Cleveland. So AJ, do me a favor, pull up the win-loss over-under total. I have mine. It might be a little generous considering, I'm trying to be optimistic as I can for these teams because, again, they're rough. So go ahead. What do you got?
6.5.
6.5. Okay, so unfortunately, I'm giving them at most in a good year for the Bengals, I'm giving them 6 wins. So that's a 6-11 season for the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're going to wind up in the top 10 in the draft again. I'm sorry, 6-11. 6-11, they're going to wind up in the top 10 again in the draft, and maybe they get another offensive lineman, best in the country this time around.
4-13.
4-13.
I'm very hard on these teams so
totally.
Far.
You have been. You haven't really gave any credence to any team other than the Buffalo Bills, really. But and the Titans because by default.
I had the Bills winning 10 games. Everyone's thinking that they're
going to
win.
I just said, besides the Buffalo Bills. You weren't hard on them. You think they're going to.
I kind of was, though.
Because
everyone
thinks
they won 13 games last year. Everybody thinks that
you see a regression happening. Yeah. Okay, we'll see. What do you got, AJ, for this?
I have a little bit of hope for these Bengals yet. I'll go 7-10.
Whoa. All right, so 7-10, take the over, according to betting AJ, who is, by the way, up in his bets. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't updated in a while, but I think we're at like 25 units now. I think.
Okay, so that's what, $250?
Yeah.
Nice. Not too shabby. You're buying your own lunch today. But anyway, so there is your preview for the Cincinnati Bengals as they enter another year in the AFC North. They got a tough, tough division ahead of them. They got Cleveland. They got, you know, obviously Pittsburgh and Baltimore. We'll talk about the rest of that division throughout the rest of this week. Thursday, Friday, we'll cover more of the AFC North. And of course, next week, we'll pick a division winner and then move on out to the AFC West, which I think will be a lot more competitive than people think. So With that, be sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on our network right now, dropping later on this afternoon. Keep It Real with Elena Christina. Then we also have my podcast that just dropped today, All About the Star. Chart Choppers also dropped tomorrow. Till Mets Do Us Part, we'll drop another episode. And then also Friday, more Squeaky Bum Time podcast. If you're a soccer fan, be sure to get over there and check those guys out. Very knowledgeable dudes. We'll more than likely try. I'll talk to Salerno this week, either today or tomorrow. We'll try to get them on Friday before the premier season. I think it's the premier season, premier league. I am such not a soccer guy. Disgusting. It stinks.
Pit stains.
I'm sorry about
the
your pit
premier
stains.
League season.
All right, a little jolly premier league. Lovely. So with that, for that, we want to thank you guys for watching this stream. We're going to keep it open after this. As we end this podcast, we're going to close the podcast, talk to our fellow people that are watching this right now. So for Sturch and Gooch and AJ from the couch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Wednesday, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
ESPN Plus increased their price.
No, to what?
I think seven.
Mm-hmm. $7.
Okay.
We'll be right back.